I invite you to join me in reading together our text for our devotion this morning from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, are you a morning person? I know I'm talking to college students. Maybe you identify with a columnist who wrote about morning people and said that he thought that they were alien beings that were sent from another galaxy to disrupt the natural order of things on our planet. Who knows? Whether you're early to bed, early to rise, or maybe late to bed and late for first hour, whatever it is that would describe you that way, the words that we have just read from this pretty familiar psalm, Psalm 103, remind us to go back to the question that was actually asked here in chapel on Tuesday, first of all, and that was by Professor DeGarmo when he was talking about asking the question, what drives you? Yesterday in chapel, we heard the chaplain draw attention to the wonderful example of talk about motivation on the part of the sinful woman, right? And how she had been forgiven much, and therefore what did she do? She showed much in her response to Jesus, wiping his feet with her hair and her tears, and then anointing them with oil and so on. What is it that keeps you going? Keeps you going day by day, having you get out of bed, go through many times same routine and so on. What is it that keeps you going to face the challenges and the opportunities? Even the matter of intrigue as to what's going to happen with the unexpected things that can happen too. What is it that really does drive you? What is it that motivates you this way? Would you agree with me that I think we could say there are shallow satisfiers that are moving us? And what I mean by that is this: there certainly are really noble things that we could point to that get us to get up and do things every day. For example, maybe it's just working hard to get that degree. Maybe it's to excel in sports or in music, or maybe it's in the arts. You want to be the best, you want to make a mark that way. Maybe it's actually just getting up to looking forward to meeting that new friend again and getting to know that person a little bit better that you've met for the first time here on this campus or so on. Maybe it could even be that you're so excited to get to that lecture from your favorite professor. Well, who knows? But, you know, also we could say it this way for faculty and staff too, and I include myself in this as an administrator for the Synod. Maybe it's another noble purpose of just getting up to serve the college, want to make sure things go well, or serve the Synod that way. But they can be very shallow satisfiers, moving us to do these things, if there's not the deep one, the deep satisfier that does really motivate us day by day. And that's brought out right away in this psalm, and you know what that is. Our wonderful God, our great God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, says the psalmist David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. The very first commandment, you shall have no other gods, is familiar to us, of course, and we think of Luther's meaning that way too. In the small catechism, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. In the large catechism, he asked this. He asked an important question. He said, let everyone search and examine his own heart thoroughly, and you'll find whether or not it clings to God alone. Here comes the question. Do you have the kind of heart that expects from him nothing but good, especially in distress and need, and renounces and forsakes all that is not God? If we check our motivations at our bedside each morning, for that matter, when we go to sleep too, what do we see? We see, don't we? Each one of us take a look at our hearts, and we're often very lacking this way. Maybe we are following more of the shallow satisfiers, as we'd say. We don't know exactly when King David wrote this psalm. Some have wondered, especially too, maybe because of the numbering here, 103, that he maybe did write it after the time of his public sins of adultery and murder. We don't know the answer to that, though, because certainly you can find the numbering doesn't count. I say the numbering because there's the penitential psalms, Psalm 32 and 51, that we know had been written right after he had committed the sins. But we just don't know exactly when it was. But one thing we could say is this. We know that by the way he lists the very first benefit here, that comes from our wonderful God, we know that he must have had on his mind certainly not only whether it's the sin of adultery, but actually the sin of idolatry, which is really the basic sin for every one of us, isn't it? It affects us all. And yet as he had that on his mind, he also very much in this psalm, as you can see, he has the wonderful, gracious, forgiving God assuring him that his sins are all forgiven. And he even in this psalm uses that expression of as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sins from us, our transgressions from us. I don't know about you, but this is really one of the most consoling pictures of the way God has dealt with us with our sins in the whole scripture. This matter of from the east and the west. He's taking all of our sins, including our sins of not always being so thankful for what he's given us, of course, not always putting him first in our life, all of our sins, and he puts them in one direction, and then we're in another direction, he says. That's how much he separated us from our sin. And using another dimensional one in the scripture, we know that the prophet Micah talks about how the Lord has hurled our sins into the depths of the sea that way. So it's interesting. You know, check the depth chart that way, or check the GPS and you tell me, how far is east from west? We know that he has put away our sins so much, that is, put away the guilt and the punishment of our sins, the punishment that we had deserved because of our sins, for one reason only. And it's because he sends his son, the Messiah, the son of David, the one who would come from David's line and therefore often called David's greater son that way. And because of Jesus Christ and what he has come to do for our life, how he has come and redeemed us, as this text tells us here too. He's redeemed us, that is, bought us back out of that destructive, fiery pit situation that we would have found ourselves in, and that he has bought us back from that with his holy precious blood. He has done this because he is our perfect Savior. He's our perfect substitute, living a holy life for us. He's our perfect sacrifice, giving his holy blood in your place and mine. And he certainly is the perfect satisfier of God's justice against every one of our sins. And we know that for sure because of his resurrection on the third day. What a great blessing that is. One pastor suggested that the phrase in Christ, which is found throughout Scripture, is one where we should picture a big circle and having Christ in that circle and everything he is and all that he, it's hard to imagine that because he transcends everything, but try to imagine all this in one circle, Christ, all he is, and all the blessings that he has to bestow. And then he says, put yourself right in that circle with him. Because he says that's the way it is with your holy baptism, the washing of water in the word, connecting you with Jesus Christ that way. You're in Christ. So these blessings that David talks about here are all in David's greater son, in the Messiah, in Christ. What does actually keep you going every day? Well, consider what's really brought out here in the text, our God. He's our forgiver. Our God, he's our redeemer, redeeming us from that terrible pit fire. He is our healer. He's the one who does grant healing to every one of our diseases, as he sees fit in time here, but certainly he's going to do so in the day of the great bodily resurrection. And he's also our great provider. As the great King of Kings, he takes care of his subjects day after day. He crowns us even, it says, like a king. He's going to crown us with loving kindness and his tender mercies that way. And so he satisfies us not in any kind of a shallow way that way, but in a very deep way, a way that really undergirds us and actually lifts us up so that we can fly like eagles, as the text talks about, up over it all. So, are you a morning person? I don't know. I mean, are you one that would jump out of bed and maybe feel like singing at the top of your lungs, "Bless the Lord, O my soul"? I know you got to get along with your roommate. Well, no matter what you're like that way, as far as being a morning person or not, you have reason, right here on the basis of this text, you have reason to get up every morning and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." His mercies are tremendous. They are new to us every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Amen, amen, amen. And have a good day, everyone.